Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Subscribe on iTunes at Toddcast Podcast.
Thanks for taking some time here this morning to join us in Vancouver, Canada.
I'm so happy.
Have you ever been to Vancouver?
No, never. Never.
I've never been to Denmark either, and I'm jealous.
It's very small. It's very, very tiny country.
Yeah. And how is it dealing with COVID and everything over there on the other side of the planet?
Well, we're starting to opening up now for different kind of activities and like going to the movies and doing sports and stuff. But now we see again that the numbers are rising again. So, Yeah. But of course, they start to opening everything up. But we do need to have this Corona passport every time we go to the hairdresser. We have to go for a cup of coffee. We need to have this test so that we can show we're not infected. So.
Wow, yeah, it's been an incredible.
It's tough.
Crazy. And of course, you know, being how does that affect you as a fighter, as a Muay Thai fighter? How did that affect your game in the last year and a bit?
Well, I haven't been fighting for my last fight was in February month last year.
Okay.
And then I came home from Thailand and everything in Denmark closed down. Like 1 week after I arrived in Denmark, and I haven't been able to travel or fighting. Everything has been closed for so long time, and it's really frustrating.
No kidding. And so what's the light at the end of the tunnel for you? Like what's the hopeful date to get back to it?
That I'm hopefully going to fight on the 22nd this month.
Okay.
So I hope it's... It's going to be a B-class fight, but it's okay, you know, just to get it all started again.
Right, right.
Yeah. Otherwise, I've been standing in my living room. I built this big thing, and I have a small living room, but I built this big thing with bags and everything. So just been training at home every single day.
Right. And so, like, growing up, what did you want to do? Like, when did you know you wanted to travel down the pro fight path?
Oh, I didn't know that until pretty late. Like I started when I was 30.
Oh, okay, wow.
Yeah, I've never been in touch with fight sports at all. I've been doing triathlon, I've been running marathon and stuff like that. I just fell for it, you know. So going to the fitness center, trying to do just, you know, a fitness hour with some kickboxing stuff. And I was like, wow, I just fall in love right away.
Wow, really? It was just like that, hey?
It was just like that. Same, same. So I just knew I was going to do it. And I knew I wanted to try fighting. And I think it was very interesting also because I'm an educated psychologist. And I've been working a lot with all our, you know, animal instincts and stuff. So I think it's been very interesting to see how things work and how we work when we go in a fight situation, because some situations you cannot think the solution, and you definitely can't do that when you're fighting. You have to have everything incorporated in your body. So
I
just fell in love and like I have to try that.
Oh, that's so very interesting, because 30 is pretty late in the game to get into it. So what were you doing prior to that then?
I became mom. Yeah. And then I just, you know, focused on being a full-time mom and doing my work.
Okay.
With my clinic. I had private people coming in my clinic for sessions, and, you know, I've been work with crisis and traumas and stuff. And then he started to grow up, and I was like, wow, I just sit in the couch waiting for my son to come home, and when he come home, he's like, mom, I have to go, I cannot talk now. So I was like, whoa. Okay,
time for something else.
It was time for something else. So then I joined the fitness, and I was like, this is what I'm gonna do. And during time, I developed a lot in person, but also in understanding myself and my body, and everything changed for me. And I was so grateful for going to the gym that day, and I loved it ever since. And now this is all I do.
Right.
I love it.
And so you're big on watching like UFC fights and Bellator and everything, right?
Yeah, I'm like nerd, you know, everything that has to do with all this. I follow everything. And in the evening, I sit with YouTube and watch the fights and, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get your thoughts on that Jake Paul, Ben Askren boxing match. What did you think of that?
Actually, that one I didn't see. I'm very sorry to admit that, but I didn't, because I'm in training camp, so I've been very focused on specific things.
Probably,
so I
didn't see that. Probably better that you didn't see it anyway. What a sham. What a waste. Like, to me, and I'm not obviously I'm not a boxer, I'm not a professional fighter, but I think it just, I mean, I guess it gets, if anything, it gets eyes on the sport of boxing, but to me it just seems like such a, I don't know, it just seems like a carnival.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I mean, like Jake Paul is a YouTuber. He's not a pro fighter. I mean, he's an amateur boxer. I guess he's getting to that point, but it just seems unnecessary.
Wow. I guess it must have been like a matter of money or getting popular, or
it's money. 100%. It has to. Yeah, it has to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what stands out from your first pro fight? How old were you?
I were 34, I think.
Okay.
Yes, I was 34. And I was actually fighting a girl from Norway, and she had so many fights. And I was a little bit, you know, I didn't really know if I wanted to take it, because I was like, whoa, this is my first like pro fight. But anyway, we had a very good match, but that was a totally different game. The hardness, you know, the movement, everything was different. And I was like, I looked like Quasimodo, you know, like with my back all swollen up and purple and black eyes. And I was like, wow. I want to do more of this.
Yeah, it's not the same as sparring, you know, like you're actually.
No, it's not the same. Not the same. But still, I'm very impressed how the body kind of adapts to the situation. Like the body knows when it's serious, and then you feel no pain. So you don't feel any pain when you go in the ring. So yeah, I was so
jacked up on adrenaline.
Yes, all the adrenaline covering up the body, you feel nothing, but afterwards, wow.
No kidding. And do you take CBD oil for that? I know a lot of fighters do.
Yeah, I actually do. And I think it's working quite well, and you get quick recovery. So I really think it's a very good supplement to use.
Yeah, it's incredible, right? I mean,
it actually is for many things. It really is. It works.
Yeah, totally. Hey, tell us about the Black Wasps school project that you're doing. I was checking that out on Facebook. It looks cool.
You showed it to me?
Yeah, it was on your Facebook page.
A school project?
Teaching some school kids about MMA?
No, I've been teaching for Muay Thai. I've been teaching. A little bit for school kids, and they really seem to enjoy it. And also some of the kids were a little bit like they rush around and bum bum bum. They really want to fight. So it's all a matter of finding a good balance and teaching the kids that this is actually not about, you know, violence or beating people up. This is really a totally different game. It's about respect. It's about friendship. It's about being helpful and kindness. So it's totally different than what people actually think about it. So in this way, by working with school kids, you actually move some boundaries or change a little form of the boxes, because people think it's like this. So when you can put it into the children in school, then you can also kind of make it different for other people to think about fight sport as something that is violent and you have an issue with your temper or something, because that's not the issue at all for fight sports.
Right. And it's often a polarizing question, but when do you think parents should get their kids enrolled into MMA martial arts?
Yeah, well, I think to put them into martial arts, I think they can start pretty early, because it's a matter about you're teaching the children how to do the stuff in a secure way. And the children actually develop a lot of good skills from fight sport. You can see how, if you look down to Thailand and these Asian countries, you see they start already when they're still wearing a diaper, you know?
Yeah, I know, right?
They start going in the gym, they start rolling around, they start doing fun stuff. And I think you can do it with the kids if you just keep it on a playing level. So you play all this stuff into the kids, you know?
Yeah.
They will find it so amusing. I think it's just about, and we have to change our mindset as adults regarding fight sport, because everybody's, oh, this is so dangerous. Woo! Yeah, you can make it dangerous if you're not a good teacher.
Right.
But if you're a good teacher who gives the right virtues and know how to teach children, then you have a magnificent result. So I think you can start quite early.
Okay. And with this fight coming up pretty quick for you, how much tape will you watch of your opponent? Like, there's a point where you can almost psych yourself out watching them fight, right?
Yeah. Actually, I never watch my opponents.
No?
No.
You just go in prepared for anything? Just prepare for war?
Yes. And I prepare my game plan. Like, I've been training a lot in Thailand, and my teacher down there, he was very good at teaching me this secret, this Thai secret that's called the IQ. So if you do your game with IQ, then you do a good game. It's not like you have to brawl and bam, 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 bam. No, you have to think smart when you're fighting. And so when I go in the ring, I study what does my opponent do, where is she weak? And after that, then we start to get it rolling.
Okay.
So I use my eyes, you know, and of course my skills. I trust my skills, and then I'm reading the whole game like a game of chess. So I think that's the way to do good fighting. Otherwise, you can put a lot of things into your mind that it's not going to be beneficial for you, because she also changes her game every time. So everybody develops. So you cannot take an old fight. Of course, you can see some indications of how she's going to fight. But still, I think it's very important to be 100% present when you go in the ring. And then you have to be present enough that you can read the game going on. And then you can work out from that point.
Right. And at that level, at that caliber, it really truly does become a bit of a chess match, eh?
It does. Indeed, it does. It does. And if you have worked all your skills... Of course, you cannot use all your skills when you go in the ring. But if you know that your toolbox has everything, then it's a matter of how you read the game.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You know, they always talk about like the best fighters pound for pound. Who do you think, men and women, best all time?
At this point, if we look into the Muay Thai world, I would say that we have Rod Tang.
Yes.
He's a very intelligent fighter. He's a very strong fighter, and he really, really know how to get his game rolling. And then, of course, if you take like Sunshine, I think he's probably the most intelligent fighter you have ever seen, ever. Mm-hmm. He is really, really brilliant in everything he does, and he's fast too. So, and then we have Bua Khao. We have so many different, but they all have a specific style or signature. So you know that's what they're gonna do. But Rod Tang, he would actually be my favorite.
He's incredible. I've watched some of his videos, and it's like, man, how do you even get the guts to get into the ring with that guy?
Yes, he's like an animal. Even you know, when he just stands like this, you know, and yeah. I would be so totally scared that when I punch his face, he just do like this, you know, and I'm like, whoa.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah, so, I would love to get outside of fighting and what you're known for. What are you binge watching lately? What are the shows that you're watching?
In fighting?
No, not in
or
fighting.
In general. Like
Netflix or TV or what are you watching?
Oh yeah, I watch Netflix and I like to watch. Right now it's Son of Sam's. I like the documentaries about the crimes and the serial crimes and stuff because there's also some psychological stuff in it and I really love that.
Yeah, so there's another one on Netflix. It's the Rodriguez story in Los Angeles in the mid 80s. It is so creepy. It's insane what they do. It's insane.
It is crazy. It's like you cannot even imagine it in your own mind. It's like wow,
Like you watch and you're like, this can't possibly be true. Yeah. And it's a documentary. It's based on fact.
Yes, it's really, I think it's really creepy. And also because it's based on crimes that happens in the United States. And like in our small country, we barely have maybe 5 murders a year, it's like nothing, So it's very interesting to see how it works over there and how severe the crimes actually are and how they can get away with stuff and how the mind is going on in people who are really sick.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating somehow. And
really is.
I think we also like to see things that are out of the normal.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I'm curious, of course, you're in pretty good shape. You're healthy. You stay fit. Yeah. What are your cheat foods?
Oh, I eat candy.
I knew there would be something.
I eat candy. I really have a sweet tooth for candy.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
That's awesome.
I love it so much.
What do you normally eat in a day? Like, what's your? Are you pretty big in the morning? Big breakfast? Are you a big evening eater? How do you work that out?
Yeah, usually I take the big meals I take in the middle of the day in between two trainings. So in the morning, it's usually like a shake with protein, a lot of fruits and vegetables. Same when I come home from training, then I put more carbs in it. So then I eat meat and stuff. So I have everything fueled up until I have to do training again.
Right.
And after training, I again do with the shakes, and a lot of vegetables and fruits. And then I have dinner and that's it.
And then some candy sprinkled in there for good
candy,
measure.
candy. For now, candy is only on Friday.
I love it.
I said to my sister today, I said, yeah, but it's okay. You can have a cheat meal once a week. But for now, it's been a cheat meal once a day.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, well, that's the pandemic talk right there. What was the first concert you went to?
Concert?
Yeah.
The music concert?
Yeah.
Oh, that was what's they called? U2. It's what U2 concert.
Wow.
Oh, that was amazing.
How old were you for that?
Oh, that's quite some years ago. I was not that old. They went to Denmark at one point. It's like, I must have been around 18 or something. So it's many years ago.
Yeah. And it had to be amazing. Like, though, even back then, in the early days of U2, they had to put on a great show.
It was, the show was incredible. Like, I cannot even give you words for how amazing that show was. And I was like, I just struck my jaw many times and like tears, and I was like, wow.
Amazing. How big was the room that you saw them in? How big was the venue?
Well, I would have to say it was quite small because I know in your country, then a small venue is still a big venue in Denmark. So I think we could have been around 7,000, I think.
Right. That's pretty small.
Yes, it's pretty small. But it was so nice, and the stage were going like out in between people and all the lights and all the stuff, and he was doing a brilliant show. It was so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you believe aliens have visited Earth?
I believe that there might be more between heaven and Earth, and I think that the universe has its own way of regulating stuff. So, but I don't know if I can say aliens, like, small green animals walking around and like plates coming to the earth. But I do think that there should be more between heaven and earth also, because why should we be the only living creatures? Like, right. It will always be a question. I think we will not get the answer. I don't think we can.
No, I know. It's a pretty vast
universe.
Imagine we're the only life form in the universe. Give me a break.
Yeah, like that would be incredible.
That
and then you can say why should we be the only living creatures? Like why?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah. And I think sometimes also funny stuff happens, you know, like miracles still do happen.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then you can ask yourself, how does miracle happen? There must be things that we cannot see with our eyes.
Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. And I think it's quite amazing because it also makes us, at least it makes me feel a little bit humble about the universe. You know, like you have to stay humble as a living creature. So I kind of like the thought that miracle happens and they happen when they're supposed to happen. And there are kind of like a faith, and yeah, I think there is more.
Do you have a near death story, like where a time where you almost or you could have been killed?
No, I haven't had that. I have some surgeries where it was kind of like close, but not like near death. When you hear people telling that then they saw a déjà vu or they saw the whole life coming in review.
Right.
I haven't tried. No.
Yeah. this might be your toughest question for today.
Yeah.
What's been your career highlight? Can you nail it down to one moment so far?
Oh, I really think I have a few.
Right, that's
what
stuff.
Yes, I think my first fight in Thailand, that I would say that would be the one, because I was fighting a girl who was, she had 150 fights and I had maybe had 15 or 16 fights. And she was double WBC champion in Thailand. And I did a really good match with her. And I did win it, but everybody betted money on her. So she had to win,
right.
You know, otherwise Thai people may get a little bit not satisfied.
Right.
But it was a great fight. It was a good fight for me. And I think I worked very good during the whole fight. And of course, there are stuff where you say, oh, I can do better. There always is. And there will always be that. So, but that would be the best experience for me.
Right.
What's
in store for the rest of the year for you?
Well, yeah, that's kind of a tricky question because of the whole situation with the COVID-19.
Right.
But for now, we are working on two fights. One, the 22nd, maybe, we don't know yet. And then maybe the 19th in next month. But everything is kind of like insecure because of the situation with all the corona. You never know how it's going to work out.
Right.
And then we have to take it from there. I also want to go back to Thailand fighting. And my big dream regarding that is that they have opened up at Lumpini Stadium for women to fight also. So the first bout will actually be here the 15th of May. So my dream is to have a fight at Lumpini Stadium, and my coach, he will try and help me get there. So that would be amazing.
Right, right.
Of course, I want to join the Lion fight also. I want to join Muay Thai Grand Prix again. But I think it's difficult for all fighters these days.
Yeah, I think at this point, it's just a matter of like keeping up and making sure you're able to fight and just bobbing and weaving, no pun intended, with COVID.
Yeah, and you have to keep yourself going all the time. And I think it's been very difficult because all the gyms have been closed. So you haven't been able to meet up with your teammates, do sparring, do pads. It's all been a drive you need to have inside yourself, you know, training. And at one point I built like a tower of tires. So I was training outside in my yard until my fingers freeze off, you know, then I build it inside my living room and then I start working in there. so I tried to keep it up the best I could. Yeah, so we just had to take it from there. Now I just started a training camp. And yeah, so we're working forward now and see when everything will open more up. And then I just want to go fighting.
Yeah, nice. Well, good luck with the next fight. Where is the best place for people to check you out online?
That would be to check me out on Instagram. I'm under Eva Muay Thai Fighter, and then there would be the Facebook, the Twitter. They can just write my name and I will pop up.
You'll pop up, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and they will also be able to see my fight with Ruth Ashdown from Muay Thai Grand Prix in London in 2018. So they can find that fight on YouTube.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Eva, thank you again for taking some time out of your day and joining us today. And I guess we'll see you online.
Thank you so much, Todd. I really enjoyed talking to you.
The Toddcast Podcast on toddhancock.ca.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. Wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.